Welcome back to the third segment of On the Same Page. Your host, Maxine Thompson, speaking to a new guest. Her name is Neil Forner, and she is the author of Hobble. Author Neil Forner, back into novel writing with self-prescribed short story, Hesitation, which was published in Playgirl, May of 2002. And she writes TV and feature scripts. Good morning. How are you, Neil?
Fine. It's kind of like, does that count? Kind of, nobody's scared shitless, but it's close.
Okay, well, this is really a unusual picture on the cover with a woman holding a knife with blood on it, and then
that's my
blood
star
on her ankles.
That's my star, yeah. I'm glad when people notice the blood on the ankles. I designed my little thing there, and actually that is the author in character. The author in character.
Well, you have to give a brief synopsis, then go into your reading, because I'd rather you read on the first segment.
God.
Give your website first.
Okay, the website is neilsorna.com. That's Neil, N-E-A-L-E. Dash Sorna, S-O-U-R-N-A. Actually, you can go in as Neil Sorna, all run together, too. I own that one as well.
Okay.
And, this is like, oh, this is like school, Maxine.
Ooh,
stand up and read.
No, don't. Give a brief setup to your book and a little brief synopsis, then we're going right into the reading.
Hobble is a self-published novel. Basically a rag novel, although a gentleman in New York at Akasha Books, Jenny Temple, has written, he's read like part of it, and he goes, this doesn't really fit this particular category, so it's, I basically say a rag because some people get a little squirrely about sex, so there's lots of sex, and but the basic premise is that we have a, Ben is a medical professional, and he is like burned out basically, and he literally trips over this pretty girl on the beach, and he has medical skills, which is fortunate because she has damaged ankles, which have been cut really badly by a blade, but they're healing nicely. But he ends up moving in with her and this older gentleman who sometimes says he's her father, and he's just like, you know, it's just like, so we have a Native American hero, we have a African American beauty, and an English guy who's bossing everybody around, and there's just intense little love sex triangle that starts immediately, like right away.
Oh, it's so right. If you get a triangle, even if there's two women wanting the same job, or two men wanting the same woman, or whatever, so you got kind of a real psychological triangle here.
Yeah, I'm a psychological kind of. It's kind of like, hey, all those things could.
This almost makes me think of a Psycho or something.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's got a little whiff of Alfred Hitchcock in this book too.
Yeah, that's kind of
well written. You're very good writer.
Oh, thank you.
I picked up right away.
I was writing a note to somebody, and I was kind of saying that. It was kind of like Hitchcock. Because it's kind of like, you know,
I thought it was just me who picked that up.
No.
With this knife and blood on the knife, blood on the ankles on the cover.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's a question as to whether how she get that blood on her ankle, how she get her ankles damaged, and you know, because she's kind of a captive in a way, and she can't get out. And until, you know, maybe this young guy will get her out, and maybe he won't. Maybe he'll just add to her troubles.
Yes, and that title, Hobble, is symbolic, too, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, and it was funny because, but then I mentioned semi-competition, but not quite. Dolores Thornton, she read it, and then she said at the end that when she read it, she goes, I got out my dictionary, and I looked up the word, and I was like, oh, my God, thank you for doing it, because after I'd written it, I just kind of, like, forgotten that I, too, had done that, which I got out my American Heritage Dictionary, and basically speaking, it was kind of like, okay, let me make certain I understand what I'm writing. And
sometimes writers will know for 2 years later what the actual theme, the meaning, and others, that's why the reviewers a lot of times have to tell you, oh, this is where this person went from being powerless to powerful. You know, that's why you have good reviewers. I read a review. It was very good.
And it's just, you know, there's all sorts. I basically thought of, like, hobble. Like, when you hobble a horse, you usually put, like, a rope around its ankles to keep it from going anywhere. And she's in that position. But then he's kind of in that position, too, because it's, you know, it also means things like you're hesitating, or, you know, you're dawdling where you shouldn't be, and all kind of things like that. And it's... And it's a quick and simple title.
Okay, well, go ahead and start your reading.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Do I get extra points anyway? Let's see. This is page 80. For those who have who wish to read along, anyway, at the bottom. Anyway, he understands that I have a way with you that he never will, and if I do, as Hopkins wishes, I get a say in what happens to you, a very generous say. I'm not going to piss that away for your curiosity, no matter how well-founded. What do you mean, Ben? You have a way with me. I was too tired to answer because it would have required another answer and another. I shrugged off the question as gently as possible. She pouted deeply, staring at me as if nauseated, as if I betrayed her. She had a mute point. I was quite apparently on Hoppy's side, whatever that exactly entailed, following his maxim of his house, his rules. Full against her in this critical thing, she sat back into the lamp's bright light, and her expression retreated into sheer darkness as she emotionally sharply withdrew from me, which I didn't like but didn't mind, because there was absolutely no way she could stay angry with me for a long time. Excuse me. Which proved to be a slight miscalculation on my part. The next three withdrawal-like nights and days, without her connecting with me in any substantive way, as she refused my presence, my very existence, those hours, minutes, seconds would feel interminably long. I once again let her have her way, knowing that whenever she wanted me again or felt I was about to be lost to her, she'd seduce me, entrap me in her fully addicting, mind and body enslaving way. Having Day in charge of me is not the worst thing I've ever had happen to me in my life. Neither is having her suddenly appear in her thinnest robe with a sheer stocking dangling from her hand. Didn't realize she had any. I was on my third sleepless night in a row, sitting on the sofa with my pain head in my hands when she dropped the nylon in my lap. She knelt on the sofa beside me and slipped her naked fingers through my hair, along my touch-deprived scalp and temples before gently massaging them down my piercingly aching spine as her head nestled against her soft, fragrant bosom. Even if she hadn't touched me, just her mere presence, her bare, slimmest attention to me would have eased my entire universe. Day sat down beside me and, without preamble, put her knowledgeable, stocking-covered palm to my lonely crotch and took me. It wouldn't take long. Makeup or torture, it wouldn't take long. Her instructing me to tell her when I was coming was nearly ludicrous. She knows me, knows my body too well not to. I could barely form the words anyway before she slipped her warm mouth around me to catch the hot, plentiful spill that straddled me and soul-kissed me, sharing the taste of my own spunk. I eat my own shit off her tongue. She also gave me that leading look, which I could never and will never be able to describe, but always felt, can still feel, like a warm, delicious breeze over naked skin. Following her to the kitchen, she both ignored me, yet enticed me while simply pouring out apple juice and drinking it. Then she leaned, elbows on the center counter, just leaned, presenting. I pulled up the tail of her thin robe and took her slowly and thoroughly with tongue and finger and cock, savoring every bit of her, every new moment with her, cashing to long-term memory every sensation she drew from me. I heard Mrs. G drive up to start her work day as Day came hard and took me over that heady, dizzying cliff-diving edge with her. Then she huskily whispered, "I'm not done with you yet," before leaving me to pick up her dressing gown and shake off my pants that were suddenly choking my ankles too much for a quick escape. I swiped up her spills with the robe and ducked into my room with her before Mrs. G had the misfortune of catching my naked ass.
Ooh, yeah.
It's like I have to read that out loud. And that's not even the hardest part.
I'm thinking of D.H. Lawrence. I just read something about him, you know, the one who wrote Gathered Leaf Lover.
Yeah,
he was banned. This book, he wrote about sex back then, so at least you're in a day, you would be stoned if you're.
Oh, yeah, I know. And it's funny because the Marquis de Sade, who also was, pretty much tortured and locked up constantly. I have the same birthday. I go, okay, this is where I get it. Plus, I did redo some DH. When I read, things that came before me, it's kind of like, okay, D.H. Lawrence, I can get that. Henry Miller, I don't really get. It's like, if I hear one more thing about bed bugs and sex, it's like, I can take the sex, but the bed bugs have to go. I'm not going to Paris.